Hey everybody, this is James Wilson. Welcome to another edition of the MTB Strength Coach Podcast. Today I wanted to talk to you about kind of an interesting concept, something that I didn't really fully realize actually till yesterday. I don't know why, but sometimes when I'm pedaling up a hill and fighting for air and starting to see spots, I have these moments of clarity where I suddenly, you know, realize things that probably should have been a little more obvious to me sooner, but once I think about it, it makes total sense. And specifically, it deals with the specificity of your cardio training. And basically, you know, what I mean by that is cardio is very specific to how you use it. And, you know, a really good example of that is the triathlete. You know, a triathlete can't just run and expect to do well in the swimming and the cycling and you know, vice versa. Like, they have to work on all three disciplines. They can't just work on building their cardio in one discipline and, you know, it carry over, you know, real effectively to the other areas. So that's kind of, you know, an example of the specificity of cardio. But it's even more specific, I think, than maybe what we'd realized beforehand. And specifically talking about the difference between, you know, sitting down and pedaling and standing up and pedaling. And, you know, one of the most, you know, common things that I hear from mountain bikers is, you know, from the cross country and trail rider, you know, climbing, you know, that when they got to, you know, power up a hill, it just really seems to, you know, be tough. And that seems to be number one on a lot of people's list, especially, like I said, the cross country and trail rider, is getting better at climbing and just feeling like they can climb strong and not blow up, you know, before they get to the top. And, you know, for a downhill rider, what I most often hear is that towards the end of a race, they just don't have anything left in their legs. They can't pedal anymore. They feel like they need to sit down. And so, excuse me. And so what I realized that a lot of these things have in common is these are efforts that usually have you up out of your saddle and, you know, trying to create, you know, strong, powerful movement while standing. And something that I realized the other day was that when you're standing, you're able to achieve full hip extension. And when you're seated, you're not. Basically, there's a hip fold. Like if you put your hands on your hip bone and right below that, you know, when you start to push your butt back, you'll feel a fold start to develop. And that's, you know, where your hips basically are, and that's the hip fold. And so when you are standing up and pedaling, that hip fold is able to get completely straight. You're able to get full hip extension. When you're seated, you're not able to get that hip fold completely straight. Even when your leg is completely straight at the bottom, or you know, as straight as it gets, depending upon how you have your bike set up, then you're not able to achieve full hip extension there. And so there is a very specific difference between how your body creates movement when you're seated and pedaling and how it does when you're standing and pedaling. And I think that that's one of the reasons that, you know, even though, you know, riders that feel like they have good cardio and they train, they feel like these other efforts here, you know, really tax them beyond what it should. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And besides just needing to get stronger in that area, I think that's why the deadlifts and a lot of the lower body exercises that I recommend mountain bikers do, why it has such a great transfer over to riding, is because it gets you working in and strengthening, you know, a range of motion that you don't train a lot in your riding. Because a lot of times when we're, you know, when people are riding and they're on training rides, they're seated. And, you know, even when they're doing intervals and stuff like that, you know, a lot of the time they're seated while they're pedaling. And I think what's happening is they're building their cardio in this specific position of seated, or at least spending most of their time working on that. And they're not really working on that endurance, that specific endurance that you need when you're standing and pedaling and using, you know, it's different muscles and different, you know, recruitment patterns for that. So you have to train that specifically. So, you know, you have to consider the movement pattern you're most dominant with when designing an endurance training program. And so, you know, like I said, when you stand, you use full hip extension. When you sit, you only use partial hip extension. So you want to be working not just on cardio, but the specific endurance of being able to create either that full or partial hip extension. So, you know, you have to consider, I think, how much do you sit during a regular ride or race. And so, you know, for the four cross and the downhill rider, this is pretty simple because, you know, you guys don't sit very much, you know, pretty much at all, hopefully. And so, you know, I think now that I think about it more, that when you do your intervals and other specific cardio training for your, you know, for your specific event, that you shouldn't sit at all. Like, you should not train your body at all to try to have good endurance in that seated position, because it's almost like, you know, junk cardio. It's not specific to what you need. So you need to be working on, you know, like I said, you know, a lot of downhill racers tell me that towards the end of the race, they just feel like they need to sit down. And, you know, it just dawned on me, well, if you spend, you know, 50%+ of your training time, you know, seated, working on cardio of your cardio training time in a seated position, well, no wonder you feel like you want to sit down, because that's a position that your body's used to and it wants to get back to that. It's not as good and efficient in that standing position while that's what you need in your race. So do all of your cardio training, if you're a four cross or downhill rider, you know, in standing, you know, if you're doing like bike specific intervals and stuff like that. So now for the cross country and trail rider, you know, it gets a little more complicated because obviously there's a, you know, a mixture. And even the Super D rider, you know, I think the Super D rider would probably, you know, do well to spend a good majority of their specific training time standing and working on that all-out effort. And I'll get into more, you know, why that is here in a second, how you can kind of tell, you know, how to best divide up your time. But, you know, for the cross-country and trail rider, you know, you guys that go out for hour, 2 hour, 3 hour, you know, all-day rides and stuff like that, you know, there's a pretty good mix of seated and standing. And so you have to take that into account. Now, you know, here's just what you have to consider. Sitting is more efficient. I mean, there's no denying that. But standing produces more power. So it's not that one is better than the other. So when you approach your training program, I think a lot of times, you know, you want to work on your spin and work on being seated because it's most efficient, and so that's what you want to train. And while I understand that concept, I think that what you really need to do is look at what are you weakest at, because you need both tools in your toolbox. You're not going to be able excuse me, I got a little frog in my throat there. You're not going to be able to avoid needing to stand up and use full hip extension when you're on the trail. And so you need to, you know, kind of have an understanding, like, what is your weak link? You know, if you have spent a lot of time, in, you know, seated and spinning, you know, that standing position is probably your weak link, which is why you avoid it. So I would say that you would definitely want to incorporate more of that into your training. But conversely, you know, you may find that being seated and learning to spin is your weak link. Like, you can get it going when you're standing and actually have decent endurance, but when you're seated, it's definitely a different story. So again, you need to pay attention to what your particular weak link is, you know, when trying to think about your endurance training program. It's like I said, it's not that one is better than the other, but I think that we haven't really thought about it along these lines before. And so, you know, a lot of riders have been, you know, avoiding that full hip extension specific endurance, you know, what in their cardio training program, or maybe not avoiding it, but just not really portioning it out correctly, and so not working enough on their weak link. So, you know, you don't want to avoid your weak link. You know, again, if sitting's your weak link, then train it. You know, if standing's your weak link, then train it. And, you know, I was actually talking about this with, you know, my buddy Lee McCormick with WeLikeSpikes.com, and he was talking about, you know, that he had been using a single chain ring on his, you know, trail bike for a while. And, you know, when you do that, you know, or you single speeders, I mean, you guys know that you got to pretty much learn how to stand up and you know, crank the pedals and you know, keep your momentum going, stuff like that. And, you know, he said he recently went back to a double chain ring because he was getting more into some, you know, more technical climbs and stuff like that needed that. and it's sitting down and spinning, you know, something that he used to be much better at was hard for him. And so, it is a specific skill. So, you know, for him, you know, I was telling him, well, you know, for you, you know, you may want to do, some work, some specific work in that seated position and work on that specific endurance. And so, again, you know, it's just kind of knowing what's your weak link and thinking about your cardio training, even on that level, like what's your weak link when it comes to being on your bike? Is it seated or standing? And so trying to design your program and think about it with that in mind. So I'd also like to point out that, you know, along these lines, I think that, you know, mountain bikers could consider sprinting a great alternative and cross-training method, since it really promotes full hip extension. And I'm not talking about jogging. You know, I'm talking about real sprinting, you know, trying to run as fast as you can. And, you know, that does promote full hip extension. And, you know, realistically, especially in the off season, and this is kind of, you know, subject for another podcast, but, you know, I'd say that you want to try to incorporate as much cross training into your cardio training as possible, because, you know, every sport has overuse injury potential. And so mountain biking is no different. And so, you know, in the off season, you really want to try to think about addressing the imbalances and the injury potential that, you know, all of the riding that you did during the season kind of accrued. And so if you continue using riding and other forms of riding and stuff like that, you know, like road cycling as your main form of cardio training, well, you're kind of making it a little tough on yourself to, you know, really address those imbalances, because you're continuing to ingrain them. And so, you know, using more cross training, definitely I'm not saying not ride your bike, you know, not at all. I think sometimes people get a little confused on that. Like, you know, I'm talking about training. Like training is training, and riding to have fun is riding to have fun. And I'd never discourage you to not have fun, because that's why we train. But I just want to, you know, try to give people a little bit better idea of how to make more efficient use of their training time. And so, you know, I'm definitely not saying don't ride your bike at all, but I'm just saying that if you can incorporate other cross-training methods, like sprinting and jumping rope and things like that into your cardio training, that it'll just help you, you know, kind of maintain and restore some balance in the off season and get ready for what, you know, the imbalances that are going to come during the season. So anyway, so that's just, you know, kind of a little bit different way to look at your cardio training program. Just considering the specific movement pattern and, you know, why it's important to train both standing and work on that full hip extension and seated and working on that partial hip extension, because you definitely use more of a quad dominant movement in that seated position there. So it's definitely a little different. But anyway, so definitely some food for thought for you guys. Hope you guys have enjoyed this. If you got any questions or anything, you can visit my blog at bikejames.com. And post a comment or a question, and I'll be happy to get back to you on that. But anyways, hope you guys enjoyed this one, and I'll talk to you during the next edition of the MTB Strength Coach Podcast.